Blog Talk Radio.
Cover this broadcast and cover every listening ear on this broadcast. We'll do it. Amen. You are tuned in to Time to Talk About It, where I'm your host, Sister Diane. And this broadcast was founded by the late Apostle Gloria Cheever Porter. And you know, we start this broadcast off with prayer. So we are our brothers and sisters' keepers. So you know what we ask. Go get your prayer list that we touch and we agree and we get into that set place today that we begin to war and intercede on others' behalf. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. We bless your name, Lord. We magnify your name. Lord, you're King of kings and Lord of lords, and there is no other God but you. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, our creator. And we say thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, O God, we ask you for forgiveness, Lord, and those that we're praying for, Lord. Forgiveness of all sin that we have committed against you in thought, deeds, actions, knowingly and unknowingly, Father, grieving the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness. And Father, as you are just to forgive us, we forgive those that trespass against us, Lord. Heavenly Father, as we hold our prayer lists before you, Lord, Father. Father, you know each and every person name by name, Lord, Father, and what they're in need of, Lord. Father, some ask for prayer for themselves, some ask for prayer for others, Lord. Father, we're thanking you right now, Lord, Father, for the prayers that you have already answered. Answering as we pray, Lord, and about to answer, Lord, Father. Father, we know that nothing is too hard for you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for being so merciful, loving, and kind to us, Lord, Father. We thank you, O God, for being a God of many chances, O God. So, Father, we fail not to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that is due unto your holy name, Lord. So, Father, look upon the other prayer lists, Lord, Father, that are held before you, Lord, those that are touching and agreeing with us as well, Lord, Father. We thank you, O God. We thank you, O God, for hearing and answering prayers today, Lord, Father. We thank you, O God, for every prayer request and every praise report, O Lord. Heavenly Father, we hold before you the Charles family, Lord, Father, and the passing, Lord, Father, of their loved one, Lord. Father, we ask you to strengthen the family, Lord, Father. And, Father, not just, Lord, Father, her, but those that have lost loved ones, Lord. Father, you said you will not leave us comfortless, O God. So, Father, we thank you for sending your comforter, Lord, Father, to them, Lord. Give them the peace, Lord, Father, in their minds, in their hearts, Lord, Father. And Father, let them, Lord, Father, come into that understanding, Lord, Father, that there is no other way but through you, Lord. Father, we're thanking you right now for comforting their hearts right now, Lord. Father, we say thank you. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Larry right now that has Parkinson's disease, Lord. And Father, we come against Parkinson's disease right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we cover him under the blood from the crown of his head, Father God, to the soles of his feet, Lord. Father, we thank you right now, Lord, Father, for pulling, Lord, Father, Parkinson's disease and the root cause, all the tentacles that go along with it right now, and cast it out into outer darkness, O God. For you said, by your stripes we are healed, Lord, Father. And we thanking you right now, O God, for healing to his body right now, Lord. His entire body, Lord, Father, as we say, body line up with the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I hold before you Minister Dolores, Lord, and I plead the blood of Jesus over her, Lord. Father, give her the strength, Lord, Father, that she needs in you right now, Lord, Father. Continue as you strengthen her, Lord. And, Father, as she go forth, Lord, Father, preaching and teaching your gospel, Lord, Father, use her in a mighty and a special way. And I ask you, O God, to keep the hedge of protection, O God, round about her, Lord, Father, and knowing that no weapon that is formed against her shall prosper, O God. We say thank you, Lord. We thanking you right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Andy, Lord, Father. And Father, you know, Lord, Father, what he was dealing with. And we thank you, Lord, Father. for what the doctors thought, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for turning it around for his good, Lord Father. For we know who you are, Lord Father. You're the God that healeth thee, Lord Father. So we thank you and glorifying you right now in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Jessica that has cancer, O God. Bobby that has prostate cancer, O God. Father, we're holding them before you, Lord. Spurgeon Walters right now that has lung cancer, O God. TJ that has pancreas cancer, O God. Father, we know, O God, that you're bigger than cancer, Lord, Father. Yvonne Talbot, O God, that have uterus cancer, O God. Deshaun Hampton, Lord, Father, that have cancer in the brain right now, Lord, Father. Father, do it for them right now, Lord Father. We speak healing, Lord Father. Father, you say healing is the children's bread, Lord Father. He, Lord Father, that has cancer, O God, behind her eyes right now, O God. Father, we speak in healing to them right now, Lord. Do it for them right now, O God. Dry it up from the root cause right now, O God, and we cast it out into outer darkness, Lord. Father God, see the blood covering right now, O God. The blood, Lord Father, that has healing, Lord Father. Father, that has protection, Lord Father, that has comfort, O God. See the blood today right now, Lord Father. We're calling upon the blood right now, Lord, for we know, Lord Father, what the blood does, Lord. We know the blood heals, protects, and covers, Lord Father. Thank you for seeing the blood covering this day, O God. Father, we continue to hold before you Dietra, Lord Father, that had major surgery, O God, brain surgery. And Father, we thank you, O God. We give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, Lord Father, how you brought her through that, Lord Father. And Father, that she is recovering well, Lord Father, and she's at home now, Lord Father. Father, we praise you. We magnify you, Lord Father. Heavenly Father, we hold before you Kathleen, Lord Father. Father, not only, Lord Father, that she had stomach cancer, Lord Father, but she had a double mastectomy, Lord Father. And Father, we thanking you right now, Lord Father, how you brought her through, Lord Father. And even when infection came in, Lord Father, you dry that up from the root cause right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you. We glorify and magnify you, O God. For Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for we know, O God, that it was nobody but you, Lord Father. Father, we lift your name on high. We are praising you right now, Lord Father. Enemy know, Lord Father, that his plot, his scheme was foiled, Lord Father. And Father, we know, O God, who we serve, and we know, O God, who we belong to, O God. So, Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for bringing her through, Lord Father, and continually bringing her through, O God, those test, Lord Father, that is set before her, Lord. For Father, she is still praising you, Lord Father. She is still lifting your name on high, Lord Father. Father, we hold before you all caregivers right now, Lord Father. Father, we ask you, Lord Father, to cover them under the blood, O God. For Father, they take care of others, and sometimes they forget to take care of themselves, Lord Father. So Father, we ask in you, Lord Father, to cover them under the blood, Lord Father. Father, keep watch over them and strengthen them as well, O God. Father, we know, Lord Father, who you are. We know that you're a God of many chances, O God. Father, we continue, Lord Father, to pray one for another. We continue, O God, to touch and agree, Lord Father. We continue, O God, to show forth your agape love, Lord Father. Father, for the greatest commandment, O God, is love, Father. And we thank you, Lord Father, for baptizing us right now, O God, with your agape love right now in the name Jesus, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for the praise report for Carolyn Townsend, Lord Father. that's in remission right now, Lord. Father, we thank you and glorify you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, Father. Father, for a Conier, Lord, Father God, that had pancreas cancer that is now cancer-free, oh God. Father, we thanking you and glorifying you, Lord. Father, we don't thank you enough, oh God. And Father, we ask you this day, oh God, to cover our children and our grandchildren, oh God. Father, as they, Lord, Father, in school right now, we plead the blood of Jesus over them and they're going out and they're coming in, Lord, Father. Father, covering the schools right now, Lord, Father, coming against traffickers, child molesters, Lord, Father, bullying right now, gun violence in the schools right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, Father. Keep that hedge of protection round about them, oh God. And Father, Lord, let them, Lord, Father, call upon you. Never forget, Lord, Father, who they belong to, oh God. So, Father, we give you praise, honor, and glory, oh God. Plead the blood of Jesus over this radio broadcast and every listening ear, Lord, Father, whether they're listening now or at a later date, oh God. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over them from the crown of their head, Father God, to the soles of their feet, oh God. Father, we ask you this day, Lord, Father, Father, to break up, Lord, Father God, stony hearts, Lord, Father, and unstopped deaf ears, oh God, and give them the ears to hear right now and the heart to receive the word as it comes forth, Lord, Father. Father, as I hold before you, Pastor Dungy, right now before you, Lord, Father. Father, I ask that you decrease her, Lord, Father, as you increase in her, oh God. And, Father, as you see the blood covering her, oh, God, I ask you to keep that hedge of protection, oh, God. And, Father, we cancel every and any assignment, Lord, Father, that will try to hinder this word from coming forth. And we render it null and void right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Holy Spirit, as we welcome you on this radio broadcast. Holy Spirit, we ask you to take control. Holy Spirit, we ask you right now, Lord, to set free right now, Lord, Father, heal and deliver right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, those, oh God, that need you, Lord, Father, let them not be ashamed, Lord, Father, to call in and press, Lord, Father, the number one, oh God, Father, to accept you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, Father. Father, we glorify and magnify you this day. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. You ought to thank God for just waking you up this morning, clothed in your right mind, because no day is promised to us, but every day is a gift that he gives to us, not just for ourselves, but for others. You can draw others into the kingdom. You can be that light in someone's darkness this day. He woke you up with the use of your limbs, your senses. He woke you up clothed in your right mind. And remember to decree and declare that there is nothing that can happen to you today that the God in you cannot handle. Amen. You make sure you create that atmosphere when you wake up in the morning. Amen, amen, and amen. I tell you, I just thank God for life. I thank God for waking me up this morning, clothing my right mind. I thank God. I take it not for granted because many did not wake up. We pray today for those that are in the path of the hurricanes. I tell you, God, answer prayers because he gives us that power and he gives us that authority that we were able to speak to the winds and they hear. We thank God for shifting the hurricane where it shifted to. So when you think that God don't hear and answer prayers, tell you God hears and he answers prayers. He hears and he answered prayers. So give God the praise today when you look back over your life and all that he has done for you, knowing that if it wasn't for him, where will you be today? Amen. I am not the speaker of the hour. We are allowing the speaker of the hour right now to prepare. But we are going to give you the word before we bring her on. The word today says, we must be willing to let go of the life we plan so as to have the life that is waiting for us. We must be willing to let go of the life we planned so to have the life that is waiting for us today. Amen. The speaker today, I call her my sister pastor. I know it says minister. I call her pastor. She is my sister. She is my friend. She is my prayer warrior. I can call her. I can talk to her. And I just thank her just for even taking this engagement to come and help and give a word what God has set for her to give to every listening ear today. When you call upon her, she is there. She's the author of Faith is No Accident. There is other books where she will get that opportunity to present her books as well. She also have a radio broadcast, Blog Talk Radio, every Thursday at 11 p.m. Central Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I tell you, it's some awesome listening. Remember, the word is on time. Don't take the word for granted. Don't abuse the word. The word, spend time in the word. Because when that word is in you, nobody can take it away from you. When the day they come and take that Bible from you, you don't have to worry because you are the Bible. You have the word of God within you. Amen. So I'm going to now decrease as I bring forth the speaker of the hour, none other than my sister pastor, Pastor Diana Dungey.
Amen.
Pastor Dungey, are you? Amen.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. God bless you. The hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out of the spirit of the, the hand of the Lord was on me. And he brought me out by the spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones, and he led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? Amen. Hallelujah. I say good morning, good morning, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time you're listening to this broadcast. All you beautiful, blessed, and standing people of God here on the Blog Talk, time to talk about it. For those of you that don't know me as my beautiful sister, my friend, my prayer partner as well, hallelujah. As she said, my name is Elder Diana Dungey. Some call me minister. She calls me pastor. Derived from our beautiful late Apostle Gloria Porter. And I want to thank each of one of you for allowing me to come before you today. I call this group of people my family because that's where God has placed me. and that includes each and every one of you. I just thank God for the opportunity to come before you today. I thank God for his word that is so loving, this word that just leads us and guides us into all truth. I thank God for the minister, Diane Benjamin, as I call her. And I thank God how she so lovely and fervently prayed this morning. And her caption, I can't say it verbatim, but from what I understood it to mean was that we got to set aside our plans and how we expect life to be and rely on God, because he knows what's best for us. And this, if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, that he will direct our path. Excuse me. So that means our little plans don't mean anything. Amen. God says the plans that he has for us are plans of good and not evil, plans to bring us a hope and a future. And he knows what's best. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto our Lord and Savior, our rock, our Redeemer, this morning. I pray for each and every one of you. I thank God that when my beautiful sister, Minister Diane Benjamin, invited me to be the guest today, I couldn't say anything but yes. I didn't even take a minute to think. I wasn't saying, let me pray about her or anything like that. God has hooked us up from the hip years ago. And just like she can call on me, I can call on her. So I thank God. I thank God for our late Apostle Gloria Porter, who I met several years ago on her blog talk, and how she just took me under her wings and she catapulted me out here in the season where God would have me to be. I always love her. Always be thankful to God for allowing our lives to cross and all that she did. Her legacy still lives on. It lives on in Minister Diane Benjamin. You see, she had no problem with taking up where Apostle left off at. And I just pray multiple blessings on my sister and that she'll continue to go to higher heights and deeper depths in the Lord. Hallelujah. I just thank God that, excuse me, he gave me this topic this morning. God is calling you out of your dry places. The focus verse is found in Ezekiel 37:1-4, which I read at the beginning of this when I came forth. Excuse me today. I don't know why I woke up a little hoarse this morning. From time to time, we all experience spiritual dry seasons. God can feel distant and even non-existent at these times. Prayers go unanswered. The Bible becomes just another book, and our world seems completely out of control. Fellowship with other believers is foreign, and our faith is on life support. Sweet sleep is rare, and it's a chore to even take care of ourselves, much less anyone else. When the walls of faith are crumbling down, how do we rebuild them? How do we spiritually hydrate during dark times? You know, people, our Christian life is not without sorrow. It's not without sin. It's not without sickness. The body can assault our peace with pain. Our mind can play games on us by questioning the reality of God and the validity of our faith. Our emotions can control us with unresolved anger or cause us to obsess in fear and uncertainty. Our will can grow weary in well-doing and give in to selfish taking. Indeed, in the dry times, we are vulnerable to the enemy's lies when he keeps us awake at night. But spiritual dryness is not the end. Ezekiel experienced his nation's demise, yet God called him to speak life into their dry state. Isaiah 44:3 says, "For I will pour out on the thirsty land and streams on the dry land. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Therefore, during dry spells, we have to allow the Spirit to spell out how much he loves us. Be patient and look for the Lord's love in the little things. A glass of cool water, a cup of warm coffee, a hot crackling fire, a cloudy moon and misty morning. Record the kind deeds done around you and thank God. Wait in humility for the Spirit to reveal unseemly traits in your soul. Let his flame of love burn away the spiritual soot so you can burn even brighter for Christ. Spiritual dryness should ready you for redeployment to active duty with God. And then grace comes along and mops up the dustiness of a dry soul. If you're on this line listening to me today, in this season of your life, then maybe, just maybe, you're in a dry place. Or maybe you're here because you'd like to know more about what to do in this particular condition. But well, in either case, I believe the Lord has led you to the right place and just at the right time. As you're standing here, as you're sitting, as you're walking, as you're listening to this blog talk radio broadcast, it's time to talk about it, people. It's time to talk about it. Have you ever felt like you don't feel God's presence? Maybe you go to church, you're trying to do the right thing, cut off bad relationships, and you're really trying to live for God, but it still feels like you don't sense him near you. You still feel like he's not giving you any wisdom. You feel like, maybe I need to pray more. Maybe I need to study more. Maybe God will make me feel whole again. So let's talk about the wilderness experience and what to do when you're in it. Because just because you fell in a pit, it doesn't always mean that it's God's plan. But you got to trust God and draw near to him. He'll never put you in the jam. It's usually us to do that. And then we expect God to pull us out. So for starters, I want to begin with the why. Why do we even go through spiritual dry places? It could be for a few reasons, but I'd like to highlight three reasons why we could be in a dry place. The first would be unconfessed or known sin. A second reason could be you're in a testing moment. Or the third could be for preparation. So if you've examined your life right now, I would consider all three and tackle each one. In other words, go through the process of elimination and acceptance. Check it out. Do I have any unconfessed sin or known sin in my life? Is God taking me through a testing? Or is he preparing me for something? The elimination part would be to go to God first and ask him, Lord, have I offended you in any way? Is there something that I've done, a sin that I'm not aware of that's causing the silence? Psalms 139:23-24 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Excuse me. The other part would be to examine your recent actions or activities to see if you sin in some way. If you have, confess, ask for forgiveness, and repent. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, if there is unconfessed sin or any known sin in your heart, take some time out today to pray these verses as well as Psalm 51:10, where you ask God to create a clean heart and God renew a right spirit within me. And then let go of any condemnation, because the Lord said there is no condemnation to those who I love and I call by my name. So don't beat yourself up. Don't be hard on yourself. Get up, brush yourself off, keep on moving. Moving forward in the direction that the Lord will have you, and don't hang there, because once you confess and repent, you're forgiven. Receive it and embrace the release that comes with confession and genuine hearted repentance. So now moving forward with testing and preparation, I think these two can be lumped together, because I believe that there is a testing while you're being prepared to do a mighty work for the Lord or go through something hard that you'll be able to handle. So there's going to be a testing. Excuse me. This computer just went black on me. There's going to be a testing. There's going to be a preparation in our lives as men and women of God. So we have to just know that, be prepared for that, and then wait for God to help us through it. So, as I said, I believe that these two can be lumped together, because that there is testing, and while you've been prepared to do mighty work for the Lord, go through something hard, there's going to be a testing. So just maybe, you're going through a dry season in your life because you are clinging on to so many things and people that God cannot even speak life into your hardened heart. Maybe, just maybe, your heart has been in things like money, pride, status, and this world. Do you know that God cares so much about you that he will allow for you to be stripped from worldly things so he will have his proper place? God refuses to share his glory with anyone else, and he's jealous if you try to do it. So do you think God is just going to sit there and let you seek after his world and not care? God surely has a way of getting our attention again, and he knows how to bring a man to repentance. So stop wrestling with God. Ask him what's going on in your life. What is it you need to do? What is it you need to change? And then go forth. There were many in the Bible who went into a wilderness experience to prepare for their assignment and purpose, such as Abraham, Moses, Elijah, and even Jesus himself. It actually wouldn't be a bad idea to read up on some of their stories during your time of dryness. From experience, I know that when you're in a dry place, it seems like God is so far away. He seems so distant, so quiet, so unconcerned. I get it. I've been there before. So I know what it's like to feel frustrated. I know what it's like to be discouraged, uncertain, confused, and even lonely during a period of spiritual drought. Yet I also want to encourage you today that when you're in that dry place, to not get upset with God. While it's totally okay to cry out to him and ask questions, if he doesn't answer you right away, as hard as it may be, trust him in the silence. This is when you'll have to fight to believe and know that he's very present, because his word promises that he will never leave us nor forsake us. This is where you'll have to fight to know that he's got a plan that's way bigger than you can imagine, and that everything you're going through is going to work out for the good in the end. That's what our sister, Minister Benjamin, was just saying this morning. Get rid of your plans and pick up God's plans. So again, if it's not a sin problem, if you don't have any unconfessed sin, if you're not doing anything knowing it's contrary to the will of God, then he's preparing you for something on the other side. With that being said, be strong in the Lord, my brothers and sisters. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praising. Don't stop reading the word. Don't quit. And don't stop doing good. I'm going to go ahead and highlight a few things, bring out that describe the message, describe the dry place, what it is, what we can do while we're in it. Because when God sees a dry place in us, he begins thinking of breathing life to that area even before we ask him. And when we turn our minds toward this type of thinking, we can say, Lord, I accept your life and restoration in this area of my life. When you're going through that dry season, when you don't know what to do, when there's things coming at you from all ends, just say, Lord, I accept your life and restoration in this area of my life. We can prophesy to the dry bones and call them to live. We're able to experience his power in the very place we thought we were disqualified in. But in order for God to effectively move through our life freely, it's going to require a willing or contrite heart. We have to be broken before God. Most people who are broken will submit to the will of God much easier than those who are not. As it is with a lot of us, our strong carnal will opposes the will of God because it does not want the breath of life to breathe through us. So first of all, we have to identify if we are actually in spiritual dryness. Are we going through some hard times right now? Why is this happening in our life? We know that dryness in the natural is the loss of moisture or any liquid substance. But spiritual dryness is when we do not thrive. We lose connection to God. We lose focus even in our ministry. We lack that oomph, that enthusiasm to be with God. We lack joy. We lack fulfillment. But I want to warn you, do not allow shame to come up when you're in this dry place. Most Christians are going to experience a dry place in their life. However, it is essential that we not deny ourselves when we lose our connection. Your dry place is an opportunity for God to bring you closer to him. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There are several symptoms of spiritual dryness that we can look at and determine whether or not we're in that dry spot. One symptom is that we have a lack of desire to fellowship, and that's a setup. The enemy will allow you to think that you do not need to have church in order to receive the word. So you miss one Sunday or Tuesday, but you logged into Zoom, so you said, okay, I'm not fine. I listened to the word on Zoom today, so even though I didn't go to church, I'm good. But then the next week, you miss a Tuesday or Sunday again. So you go listen to a podcast or something, thinking that's going to justify you not going to church. But as time goes on, you're not going turns into a month, and then 2 months and 3 months of being out and not listening to anything. Matthew 18:20 tells us to take this most seriously, because our yes on earth is yes in heaven, and our no on earth is a no in heaven. So what you say or do to someone else or even to yourself, it can become eternal. You become critical of the word. You start judging the message. You start stating that the message is not for you. That's a dry time. The enemy binds you or blinds you from godly wisdom and revelation and slips in, distracting you to focus on the minister's flaws. You start looking at the church's flaws, the pastor's flaws. You start missing the whole message that God has intended for you because you're looking around trying to figure out why this person is doing this. Pastor just said that. That didn't go in the word. That's not from Bible. You're in a dry place. Galatians 6:1-3 says, and when you're in a dry place or you see someone else in a dry place, forgivingly restore them. Save your critical comments for yourself, because you might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. So if you see a brother or sister going through a dry place, help them. Pray for them. Don't talk about them. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. And if you think you are too good for that, then you're being badly deceived. If you see someone in this predicament, we as helpers of one another are to be praying for each other. No judgment about the place they're in. Another symptom of a dry place is the Word of God will become normal to us. When reading the Word brings no further desire or spiritual movement, when you cannot take the Word and apply it to you, it just becomes words on a page. When the Word of God brings no hope to your circumstance, you're in the dry place. 1 Peter 2, 2-3 says, so clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God. Now lack incense at the breast. Drink deep of God's pure kindness so that you can grow up and mature and be whole in God and resist that dry place. Another symptom that you may be in dry places, you start coming to the services late. Sounds basic. Sounds like it's nothing, just something simple. But it's real. It's a symptom that you're on a dry place. Now, I'm not saying that coming to service late should never be. But when you do, there should be a sincere apology to God if you come in late. If you have an appointment with a doctor, with a pastor, or someone you care about, you feel embarrassed. You even feel guilty because you feel as if you've offended the person who's been waiting on you. So how do you think of God as less than? How do you can come into church and not feel any guilt when you're late? That's not honoring God. When we say, oh, well, I'll get there when there's a sign. Okay, let me go back. When we say, oh, well, I'll get there. Now, that's a sign of not caring about God's timing. Your time, your needs, what you have going on becomes more important. It's not about being late. It's about the feeling and attitude you have of being late. That's what determines your dry place. And then another sense on you decreasing in prayer and the study of God's word. When you no longer want to fellowship with God in prayer or reading and hearing his word, that's a problem. Because without prayer and God's word, we lack guidance, we lack clarity, and most of all, we start feeling confused, we feel stuck, we feel that we cannot move on, and then we start trying to make things happen on our own accord. We do things as a way to make something happen, and we just feel like our life is totally out of control. That's a dry place. Psalm 119:9-11 says, how can a young person live a life, a clean life? The answer is by carefully reading the map of your word. God is in single pursuit of you. Don't miss the road signs that he's posting. He says, I bank your promises in the bottom of my heart so that they will not sin against us. We have to bank the promise of God in our heart. When we're going through the dry places, we may not be feeling like reading his word, but if we read his word enough, it should come up to help us in our dry season. In Psalms 119:1-5-12, by your words I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I have committed myself, and I'll never turn back from living in your righteous order. Everything is falling apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. That's the only way that we're going to be put together. He's going to adorn us with his finest things. Teach me, Lord God, your holy rules. My life is closed with my own hands. All these different things. Read Psalms 119:105-112, and see how you can petition to God when you're in a dry place. Another symptom of being in the dry places, you become selfish in your giving. Psalm 78:9-16. Read that. How the Ephraimites, armed to the teeth, ran off when the battle began. They become cowards to God's covenant and refuse to walk by his word and what God has to do. You become stagnant in giving in your tithes and offerings. You fall into a trap of thinking that you're wiser, that you're more important. Your feelings, your thoughts are higher than God. You start ignoring what God has already done for you and what has God given you. But when you're experiencing the spiritual dryness, you can even turn your back on God. Can you imagine? But 1 Peter 5:8-10 tells us to keep a cool head, stay alert, because the devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better to keep you napping, to catch you napping. Keep your guard up. You're not the only ones plunged into these hard times. It's the same with Christians all over the world. So keep a firm grip on your faith. The suffering won't last forever. It won't be long before this generous God who has great plans for you, this eternal and glorious God, will bring and put together you again and put you on your feet for good. So continue to give your tithes and offerings. Those open up the door for your blessing. When the enemy tells you to do something, he doesn't show you the danger. He doesn't show you what's going to happen on the other end. He only shows you what you will gain. He gives you the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, trying to draw you in to a place of dryness. You must remember that there is nothing to gain from the enemy. Those are some of the symptoms of a dry place. What are some of the causes of the spiritual dryness? Trials and tribulations is number one. When we aren't able to see the trials and tribulations in our life, when we're not letting them, seeing them that they are part of elevation, we take it that it's God punishing us, or God doesn't care about us, or God's too busy, or we're not good enough for God to take care of. But we have to know, as it says in Psalm 34:19-20, that God is still there every time. He's your bodyguard. He shields every bone. Not even a finger can get broken. Evil communication can get us in a dry place. Being around negative people. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, don't fool yourself. Don't let yourself be poisoned by this anti-resurrection loose talk. Bad company ruins good manners. Submitting to your flesh. That's another way that you can get into a dry place. When you allow your flesh to overcome your spirits of doing the work of God, then you have allowed the spiritual dryness to begin to slip in. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh. 1 John 2:15-17 says, don't love the world's way. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, none of this has anything to do with the Father. It will just isolate you from him. The world and all is wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. So do not allow that cause of wanting things of the world cause you to lose sight of God and put you in a dry place. Do not lust after the things of the world. How do you overcome being in the dry place, you ask? You have to repent. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. That means everybody goes through trials and tribulations. Everybody goes through testing. All you need to do is remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. There is no self-justification where the Spirit of God exists. There are no sins that man commits that's new to God. He's a God of mercy and loving kindness, a God of judgment. The greatest thing you can read about David repenting was he always had a desire to change. One thing I want to tell you today, you won't be able to find any solution in your spiritual dryness until you repent. Then after you repent, get your fellowship back. You must have a personal relationship with God. When you're facing dry times in your life, you need to double your efforts to listen to Jesus. Follow him, stay close to his word in these dry times, that you are not only tested, but you're going to get tempted. So stay off the path. So getting off the path that God has laid out for you can be very deadly. It is very vital to stay close to Jesus and not stray away. Staying off the path that God has laid out for you in his word can be deadly. It's vital to stay close to Jesus and not stray away. And then give your testimony. Being able to relate to one another in hard times helps you to be able to count on others, get the support you need, and even help somebody else that may be going through this as well. Life is easier when we have others to support us and pray for us and walk us through those dry desert times. That's one of the biggest reasons why we should all be part of a church family and a small group. We are not made to walk alone in this life. And in those dry times, your Christian friends and family and church should be there to support you and help you get safely through them. In the dry times, again, your Christian friends and family and church are there to support you and help you get safely through them. So don't try to do it on your own. Don't be too ashamed or embarrassed to let somebody know, hey, I'm having a hard time right now. I need your help. And then another thing you have to do to get out of these dry times is render your broken heart to Jesus. In spiritually dry, craggy times, we need to keep our heads up. We need to be watching for God to show himself to us. We need to look for miracles that he weaves in our lives. Even in our dry times, he is still doing miracles in our life. Ezekiel's message offers both a warning and a hope. How blessed we are that no matter how often we sin or how far away we stray, our long-suffering Lord remains faithful and true. However, God's righteousness commands our obedience. His justice also commands consequences, which the Israelites even experienced. So even though we in a dry place, we got to keep it together with God. If we don't, there's going to be consequences. Another thing to get us out of the dry place, we have to study his word. Joshua 1, 1 through 9, read that. After the death of Moses, the servant of God, God spoke to Joshua, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant is dead, Joshua, so I need you to get going. Cross this Jordan River, you and all the people. Cross to the country I'm giving to the people of Israel. I'm giving you every square inch of the land you set your foot on, just as I promised Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon east to the Garden River, the Euphrates River, all the Hittite country, and then to the Great Sea. It's all yours, all your life. No one will be able to hold it out against you. And in the same way God was with Moses, he was with Joshua, he's going to be with you. He won't give up on you. He won't leave you. He'll give you the strength. He'll give you the courage. You're going to lead people to inherit the land that God has promised. Give it everything you have, your heart, your soul, your mind. Make sure you carry out the revelation that Moses commanded, every bit of the Ten Commandments. Don't get off track. Don't go left or right. Make sure you get to where God is calling you to go. And don't for a minute let the book of Revelation be out of mind. It says ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you'll get where you're going. Then you'll succeed. He said, haven't I commanded you? Haven't I given you strength, courage, in the past? You think if I did it before, I won't do it again? Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step of the way. So then once you follow some of those steps and study His word, then you need to commit. In those dry times, we need to have a constant supply of living water. We need to be connected to the giver of life and be bathed by His living water. In other words, we need to stay connected to God and His word. It's a time to press in hard. Press in. You have to purposely seek after God. Press in hard to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to supply you with understanding and comfort in the presence of God. Stay connected to God because His word is life for your dry soul. And then grow in that dry place. Grow in the wilderness. Allow God to mature you in the desert. Allow Him to strengthen your resolve and build your faith, build your character, build your endurance. Allow Him to mold you, to refine you, and shape you into what He needs you to be for others when you come out of this dry season. So if you're there in that dry season right now, accept where you are. Get everything you can out of this time. Draw close to God. Dig deeper into His word, even if you don't feel like anything or receive any fresh revelation, keep reading His word. Feast on the scriptures that you were already reading before you went into the dry place and push through it with faith and faithfulness. Here's just a few practice tips during this season. Again, don't quit on God. He is the only one that's leading you and the only one that can help you. Spend more time with Him. Don't run back to your past when you get uncomfortable, because spending time with God daily should be like a flight you're catching at 7 a.m., free flight to Hawaii every day. You know good and well you would miss a flight to Hawaii. 7 a.m. flight, even though some don't like to get up that early, because most likely you have to get up at 4 or 5 just to get the suitcases and everything in, get through the traffic, and try to be there before they start boarding. But you're going to get up early. You're going to make sure you catch that flight, because you're not going to miss out on this all-expense-paid trip. So why is this hope so hard for you to get your flesh and set a time for God and stick with it? We can get up for work. We can get up for that flight. We can get up for school. But we can't get up early for God. There's a reason why you don't deserve God, and it's because you stop giving Him your attention. That's why you're in the dry place. That's why it seems like it's not working. Because somewhere down the line, we stop giving God the attention that we are supposed to give Him. Another strategy we can do is let go of anyone or anything that's hindering your walk with the Lord. Yeah, that person. That person just came to your mind. You know who it is. God has already made it plain to you, but you're rationalizing. You're justifying. You're trying to make it reasonable why you still dealing with this person. God said, stop going back and forth and let it go. Get out of that dry place. And then guard your heart. You don't have time to listen to all those stupid love songs and music that's not glorifying the Father. Turn off the television. Unfollow a bunch of worldly celebrities and protect your heart. Your heart grows things. And if you compare your life to all these other people, you're not going to enjoy your season. You're going to compare your life to person. You're going to start highlighting things, and you're going to start watching how other people do things, why other people are getting blessed and you're not, and you're going to get into a place where you see God has forgotten about you. You start feeling worthless. You start feeling that something I'm doing is not right, and then you slip out of your wealthy place to a dry place. You've got to guard your heart, people. Got to guard your heart. Got to watch what you're listening to, who you're talking to, who you're hanging around with. And then you got to be kind to others. Yes, this may seem easy to do, but when you're not feeling good about yourself, sometimes it's hard to be nice to others. You have to admit it. And then you got to avoid the pity party. Get up from that depression. Get up out of your feelings. get up and go help someone else who is struggling. And when you get your eyes off yourself and become selfless, you're going to find the joy and the beauty in sowing your time and energy into others as the Lord leads you. Don't just jump up and go try to save the world. Ask the Lord, who is it you want me to bless today? And then to get out of that dry place, keep learning, keep learning, keep learning more. Keep reading the Word. Keep reading Christian books. Keep listening to encouraging podcasts. Surround yourself with believers. Never stop learning and take what you're learning and applying it to your life. But before you pick up everybody's book, make sure your faith is in the Bible first. Read your Word first. Get your day started in the right way, because nothing will replace God's Word. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for each and every one of you that may be going into a dry place. I'm standing in agreement with you today so the rest of the body of Christ can catch on as well. So that I want you just to know that, remember that when you quit, it's going to put a burden on the rest of the body. So you can't, because you don't know who God will bring forth in your life. You don't know who God will put in your pathway. I think about a time I was going through a dry season, and my goddaughter came over to me, and she was crying, and she was indecisive about some things, and I wasn't in a situation where I wanted to even talk to her or listen to what was going on with her, because I was in my feelings. I was in my own self. She went to Las Vegas. I remember her calling me from Vegas crying. That's all I remember. The next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call that my goddaughter had got killed in Vegas. Had I been not focused on my dry season, on my own stuff, could I have said something or done something even to prevent her from going to Vegas? Sometimes I beat myself up about that, but I have learned to just say God is the only one that can give or take a life, so it wasn't my responsibility. But still, I was in that dry place. Still, I couldn't remember something she was saying to me had I not been so focused on myself. We got to get out of that dry place. We got to hang in there, because we have to know that God is for us. Lastly, I want you to say, trust in the Lord and don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. In the dry place, God may be quiet and seem distant. I want you to know that he's listening. He's watching. Your brook is coming. It's up ahead. Just keep pressing and believing in the dry place. Remember, Jesus is coming back soon, and those who endure until the end shall be saved. So let's be ready from the inside out. God is calling you out of that dry place. His earnest plea is that you come out of that dry place. He said he wishes above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. God will certainly get you out of any place, as we know from Jeremiah 33:3, where he says, if you call unto me, I will answer you. And not only will I answer you, but I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. God will save you from any situation. His plan is that you will walk out of your dry place and tune in with the Holy Spirit. How can anyone tune in with God and end up in a hole? They can't. If you're tuned into God, you're going to be walking in that direction. And even if there is a hole in front of you, the Holy Spirit will have told you ahead of time and will have prepared you on how to deal with that hole. You will not sink and swim. He's going to help you go around it, go through it, or something. But you're not going to stay there. Spiritually dry places lead to victory. When we go through them, we are almost always elevated to higher understanding, a growth in our maturity, and a more intimate relationship with the Lord. If we persevere and cling to Jesus as we walk through the dry places, we are going to be elevated to a higher understanding. We'll become more wiser. we're going to be able to tell someone else, hey, you don't want to go there because this, that, and the other. Or if you are going through this, do it like this. I got a few pointers you may be able to use. Our Christian life was never guaranteed to be one, an easy one. And anyone that told you that it was going to be easy once you gave up all the sin, all the material things, they're not being honest. In fact, Jesus tells us just the opposite. He tells us that there will be trials and tribulations, but he also tells us that he will be with us and never leave us. It's time to be a champion today, people. It's time to start training with the champion. Start hanging out with eagles. The spiritual champions in our life are those who are walking close to God, those who know his voice, those who not only know his voice, but they obey him. Those are the people you want to be around. Those are the ones that you want to train with. Those are the ones that you want to go down in the muck and the mire with, snatching people out of the kingdom of darkness into God's marvelous light. That's how you walk out of that spiritual dryness, working for the will of God and helping somebody else to do it as well. Amen. I just pray, Heavenly Father, that during spiritual times, that you will teach each and every one of us not to give up, but to give in to you. And I give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. I praise God for each and every one of you for allowing me to come forth before you today. I apologize for my heart hoarseness and not be able to put it out there the way I really felt the need to, but I pray that something I said or said today has made an impact on your life to inspire you, transpire you, or transform you in some type of way to help you out of the dry place and walk in your wealthy place. I'm going to now turn it over to our beautiful minister, Benjamin, or whoever's going to, our Pastor Angina Powell, whoever's going to come and cover the message in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. I love you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over Pastor Dungey right now. Father, thank you for covering her under the blood. Thank you, oh God, for the word coming forth, Lord Father, not how she wanted, Lord Father, but how you wanted it to come across. We thank you, God, for the hearts and the mind that received the word as it come forth, Lord Father, as it came forth, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, for every dry place that they're going through right now, Lord Father. We thank you, Lord Father, that they endure, Lord Father. We thank you, oh God, that they continue to look up, Lord. And Father, as Pastor Dungey poured into us, Lord Father, we ask you, oh God, to refresh, refill, and rejuvenate her, Lord. And we cancel the assignment of the enemy right now, Lord Father, that will try and hinder this word, Lord Father, from making its way, Lord Father, into the hearts of your people, Lord. And Father, we give you honor, we give you glory, and we're giving you praise this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have enjoyed this message or you would like to ask Pastor Dungey a question, for those of you that's live on the line, all you have to do is press the number one. For those of you that are listening on another device, the calling number is 347-857-3925 and hit the number one. And you will be live on air to ask your question. Maybe you want prayer, have a praise report, want to give your life to Christ. Again, that number is 347-857-3925 and press the number one. Pastor Dungey also have a blog talk radio, Faith is No Accident, and that's every Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I will give her the floor that she will give you her information as well as her books and how you can get her books. Pastor Dungey? Pastor Dungey, are you there?
Excuse me. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity. As you said, my blog post, Faith is No Accident, is aired every Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. That number is 346-517-89. Oh, I forgot the number myself. I don't know. Let me get it, please. Now, this is crazy.
You know, that's nothing but a trick of the enemy, right? That's trying so hard. But the number is 516-387-1609. That's 516-387-1609.
Thank you, my sister. And
I have... We are the keeper.
And I have several books out. Lord put it on my heart when I was on my back. A doctor gave me less than a year to live and started writing my story of my life since the age of 13 in chronological order. So I have still more to write. I have four volumes of Faith is No Accident where I share different occurrences that's happened in my life from car accidents that took the whole side of my face off, being molested and had birthing two children through molestation, all kind of different things, and even having cancer and how the Lord healed me from cancer when I chose to forgive those who, even those who molested me. God will use certain things in order to bring about his glory and to push you forward to whatever purpose he has in your life. So there's Faith is No Accident, volumes 1-4. Also, A Dream, which is not a dream at all. That's a book the Lord deals with me through dreams and visions a lot of times. So this book tells you about dreams, how you can determine whether it's a dream, a nightmare, whether it's a warning. A lot of times the Lord will show me a dream and I have to go tell that person about something that might be getting to occur in their life. But if they get things right, God will avoid it from happening in their lives. I've had that happen several times, many times. Not a good feeling, but I know once I tell a person the dream, I always get a peace of mind, so I know that it was something from God. So the book tells you all types of different warnings, dreams, how you can determine even something with color in your dream. Also, I have a book, a huge one. It's a 365-page manual resource book, Harvey the Hurricane of Hope. Back several years ago, we had a huge hurricane here in Houston that totally demolished the lives of people all over. But there were people all over the world that gave into and seeded into the lives of people here and just made things so much better. And God was so pleased with them that that is why we won the World Series for the first time in the world. I believe God showed that, you know, they said that there'll be no peace, that people can't come together as one and help one another. And I believe that Hurricane Harvey was evidence that we as people of God, we as human beings, can actually put away our own stuff when we see the need of a brother or a sister. And because of that, I've called it Harvey the Hurricane of Hope. Because there's still hope in this world for us if we decide to do things according to God's will and God's plan. And then another book I've written is Marriage is a Lot of Work. Never been married in my life. They called me the runaway bride. Had no idea why the Holy Spirit had me to write this book. But I went around and I interviewed all types of different couples, individuals from different walks of life about their input on marriage, what God says about marriage, different things that you can do, you know, even in the troubled marriage. God, the Holy Spirit put together this book, and it's awesome. It even changed my view and thoughts about marriage. I never thought I wanted to be married, but now I am in a state where I'm believing God for that man of God to come my way and sweep me off my feet, amen, in God's time, not mine. Amen. So those are some of the books that I have written. I have one on the shelf now that I'm working on the intercessors are praying, and Faces on Accident, Volume 5, two of the books. I'm also helping others to write books. So far, I think it's been about 25. Right now, a professor who does a lot of plays all over the world has contacted me. So I turned his play, one of his productions, into a book, which is coming out soon. A lot of people send me their videos that they preached, and the Holy Spirit has allowed me to turn those into books. So I also do that for a price. So if you ever need anyone to help you to birth that baby, birth that first book, even your 50th book, I'd be willing to help you if God says so. So I just want to thank each and every one of you for listening and allowing me to come forward today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Minister Benjamin. My books are on Amazon. There's on other platforms as well, but definitely on Amazon. And I just thank God for each of you. Thank you, Minister Benjamin, again, for allowing me to come forth on your platform. Thank God that he'll continue to keep you, strengthen you, and all that are connected to you. Just love you so much. Love each and every one of you, but know that God loves you even more. Be blessed and keep saying this. God bless you.
Amen, amen. We thank you and appreciate you so much as well, Pastor Dungy. If you have missed this radio broadcast from the beginning, you can visit our Facebook page at Logion International Ministries, City of Victory. And go ahead, if you have not liked or followed our page, hit like and follow. But you can also click the link for Blog Talk Radio, and you can hear this broadcast again from the beginning. Amen. Join us every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, that call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Friday night, we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Conference line, and that call-in number is 712-7144, code 3333#. We do not care what church you belong to. We are coming together as followers of Christ, tearing the devil kingdom down, praying one for another, praying for the nation. So join us every Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join us every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for our live Facebook Live service. If you do not have Facebook, you can also listen to us on the conference line. Again, that number is 712-832-7144, code 3333#. Join us every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Bible Talk. And I tell you, it's an awesome topic that's been coming forward. And yes, what we speak about, we will give you scripture to back it up. Amen. So join us every Tuesday night for Bible Talk at 6 p.m. That call-in number is 712-832-7144. Code 3333#. Till then, be blessed.
Let God have it.
That's when things start happening.
Let's go.